Let's start.
Okay, we could definitely start. We still rolling?
Yep.
Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
You know, I haven't actually been feeling so well. How's it going with you?
Oh, pretty good. Did you get those pictures I sent you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cute kid.
Thanks. He's been keeping me up. Well, that's not entirely true. It's more of a thing like where I just try and fit too many things into one day and I just don't sleep a whole lot. So I haven't been feeling too great myself either, and been finding it difficult to get a lot of time to edit this podcast.
It's been a while since we've talked, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's been, I've gone through withdrawals, honestly.
Well, I mean, I'm here. Mostly here. I need to feel a bit better. Sean, can you hand me some medicine?
Oh, sure. Just give me a second here. There we go.
Oh, that's better. That's better. Use the stronger one. One more. It's okay. You've got like 99 in your inventory.
Really?
Go ahead.
Hold on. This might give you feel like you have a second life here.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. That's great. I feel totally reborn.
Oh, good. That's good. I was worried about you there for a minute. It sounded a little rough.
Wouldn't it be great if medicine actually worked like that?
Yeah, like they try and make you think that it does. At least they used to before they had to sort of run all these disclaimers that like run longer than the commercial itself. I was like, I don't want to take any of that. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Are you losing your hair? Try this. May cause obesity, diabetes,
and impotence.
Spontaneous vomiting,
right?
Bowel control issues, and I'm like, oh.
And in some cases, death.
I think I'll just learn to live without the hair. You know?
Yeah, pretty much. So it is kind of interesting how cavalierly games treat life and death, but I suppose it's for functional reasons, right?
You can't really wait for
an actual sword wound to heal.
Oh man, how boring would that game be? Like you're fighting these monsters and you've taken some damage, and then you have to go through to rehab, you know, and you learn to gradually use your sword arm again, and you know you can, yeah.
I mean, how convenient would it be if your body got riddled with bullets and you had to like uncollapse your lung again? Seriously, who has time for that?
Yep. Exactly. So in video games, if you could just find a nice piece of cover for a little while,
wait for your shields to recharge.
Yeah,
you don't even get hurt anymore, right? It's just your shields take all the damage.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, I don't think video games should all be one hit kills. You know what I mean? Although first person shooters, if you shoot someone square in the head, they usually die.
Usually. Although I did kind of enjoy like the Bushido Blade series because of that mechanic. You know, it's like you lose an arm or a leg and it's out, man. You can't use that thing again, and then you go for the kill shot. It's over. So those matches can end in just one round if you know what you're doing.
And I'd say definitely RPGs are the worst offenders.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then kind of like the area between like what was just death and being quote-unquote knocked out became more and more blurred. So that like you die in a battle and it's just like, oh, you're just out of the battle. You're not dead. You're just down. And then like you don't die unless you die in a cutscene or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Like the early games, I mean, a lot of them. To get reborn, you couldn't use it as an item. You had to go to like a church, and then there'd be a priest who'd resurrect you.
Yeah, because you were dead.
Yeah, because you were dead. But then they're like, okay, Phoenix Down. Yeah. Here's a Phoenix Down. This makes you come back to life. And then later, when characters started like dying in games, you know, like characters you cared about rather than just, you know, the random party members you made.
Right.
You know, then they're like, oh, they weren't totally dead. They were just mostly dead. I got Princess Bride flashbacks there. He's only mostly oh, wow, that is the worst Billy Crystal impersonation.
But mostly is dead, he's partly alive.
Yeah, you said that's so much better. It's better. Anyway.
He clearly said to blame. Anyway.
But yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, and okay, take a Resident Evil series.
Okay.
Where you could just take that like totally unprepared herb, you know what I mean?
It's like, oh yeah, you just like eat this plant and you're better. That's or like develop it into a spray.
Exactly. First aid spray, yeah.
Oh, you just spray it on, it's like, ah, so much better. At least Mass Effect has like a pretense of healing you up by like saying that your suit has some kind of weird gel that like immediately cools and soothes burns and gunshots.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it like that, in the Resident Evil future, where there's zombies running around, I'm not that worried as long as, like, I'm a farmer.
Okay.
Like, because I would go to wherever those herbs are grown and just kind of roll around in that field. And be like, whatever, zombies.
Yeah, you think these farmers would be the hardiest people. It's like, you know, try and invade my town? I don't think so. And they all band together and just knock everyone up because they just have this endless supply of life-healing plants.
What if you used a first aid spray on a zombie, though? Would you bring it back to life?
I don't know if it works that way.
Then you could kill it?
The undead are a bit different than the mostly dead. I know, it's really confusing. Just don't try to think about it too much.
Because I still remember, like, when everybody was all up in arms about a certain character dying in Final Fantasy VII. Don't want to spoil this 15-year-old game, so I won't say who it is. But when he or she died, and the internet went nuts about it. I mean, I'm like, well, just use a Phoenix Down.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, it doesn't.
But you're right. If you die in a cutscene, you're totally dead.
Right. I was just playing, again, Mass Effect 3, and there was this fight where you totally down the bad guy, and then he and or she gets up immediately afterwards as your back is turned to, like, stab you. And it's just like, no, you're dead. I knocked you out. You're gone. You're done for.
But mostly dead.
It ended up being a very cathartic moment. Actually, for those who have played, they will know what I mean.
Well, I think... Now, I haven't played this game, but I have a theory.
Oh.
It's always a bad way of starting. When you killed this guy, or girl, let's say a guy.
Sure, why not?
And he falls down.
Yeah.
He falls on his keys. And his keys had been doused in first aid spray. Now it totally makes sense.
You know what? I feel like trying something. You mind if I try something?
Go for it.
We should introduce the show. We should tell people what show this is.
Oh, we're doing a show right now?
Yeah, we're a show. We're the Famicom Dojo podcast.
Oh, that's what we are. You know, it's been so long since we've done one, I kind of forgot about it.
We're ostensibly first and foremost a video series, but when's the last time we released a video?
Well... is that a rabbit over there?
Oh my. Those are coming. We're working really hard on a bunch, actually.
Yes,
we'd like to think that we're, you know, at least on this podcast, talk about contemporary video games with a retro video gaming bent.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I'd say that would describe our podcast in a PR appropriate way.
Yep, without using too many four-letter words.
Indeed. Which separates us from most podcasts. Anyway.
Yeah, if you read the reviews, that's what people say. It's like they're very happy that we just don't swear up a storm, which, you know, we don't need to do because we're awesome without it. Well, we're okay. We're mediocre. Middling?
Yeah. Decent. I don't know. I don't know. Decent. So back to issues of life and death.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Very important things.
Now, you were mentioning Bushido Blade is a game that accurately does that. And there's a lot of space shooters that, you know, you take a hit to your ship and you're done. Although you do have three ships, which actually is less realistic than the other.
All right, like we covered this in a few episodes ago about the concept of lives and its origins in the arcade gaming and how you just don't die anymore, but you still get hurt very frequently and then just get better.
Well, you played Leisure Suit Larry, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We brought that up too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did. So, speaking of Leisure Suit Larry, right?
Kickstarter.
Yep. Al Lowe, after Tim Schafer's wildly successful, earned seven times as much as it needed to Kickstarter campaign, decided he wants to do a Leisure Suit Larry retrofit. Which there was actually an Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
Reddit, yeah.
That was super, super informative about that. And one of the things that Al Lowe said was in the later installments when they went more to a point and click rather than, you know, try and guess the word that the developer was thinking of, text-based interface, that the puzzles became way too easy and they had to, like, do a lot more and intricate versions of them. So a retrofit is rather fitting to say because that original game was such a text-based input game, and they're going to have to think of new and different ways of doing kind of the same things.
Have you seen the preview though? The animation, it just looks great. It just looks really, really good. But I think I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make it or not.
Well, I mean, he is asking for $100,000 more than Tim Schafer was.
Well, yeah, but Tim Schafer didn't have to buy the license to whatever Tim Schafer's
doing. Oh, he has to buy the license. Is there anything left of Sierra Online to buy the license from?
It was bought by Vivendi, and then it was bought by Vivendi. Who owns Vivendi now? Is it EA or Activision? It's one of those.
I have no idea.
But anyway, that's the thing. Everybody's like, you should make Leisure Suit Larry 8 or 4, I suppose. I don't know if they want to.
Do you remember that one thing in 4 that was so awesome that we shouldn't spoil for anyone because it was that awesome?
The fact that it was never made. Oops.
Yeah. Oh, you ruined the joke.
Oh no.
Man.
Although that game is referenced in a number of other games.
True. It's true.
In Space Quest 4, one of like the objectives was to obtain a copy of Leisure Suit Larry 4 from a software store. But I don't know. I'm still immature enough. Like, I played these games at an age where it was naughty to play these games.
Right. Like, I'll play it and buy it for the nostalgia, but like the sort of titillating aspect, the part that would make me kind of like giggle uncontrollably behind closed doors and like under a blanket probably would be totally gone.
the thing about the Leisure Suit Larry games is they were always sold on that, but they contain, like, what, 2 minutes of less than that? Like, two screens of pixelated partial nudity.
Yeah.
But the reason you kept playing them is because they were really, really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, like, the humor
was great. At
least that's
the reason I kept playing them. I don't know.
I thought they were hilarious, and I think that humor comes through in his intro video, I think. But,
Al Lowe's been trying to get back into the game designing game for years. He was going to release this other game. I forgot, Sam Suede or something.
Yeah,
something. I don't remember what it was called exactly. But the publisher just went like, no, not profitable. Forget it. And so Kickstarter's come along and it's allowed Al Lowe to like make a game again. So here's the thing. Everybody's like, why aren't they making a new game? Why are they making a remake?
That is a good question. I was wondering that myself.
Licensing the remakes is a lot cheaper. Way cheaper. Because Al Lowe doesn't own the series, but now he's bought the rights to remake the game. Now, if this game goes well, they'll remake the other ones. And if those go well and actually make them some money, they'll try to buy the license outright and make new games.
Huh. That's very interesting. Well,
so I really hope this one does well. Like, even if you're not a fan of the first game, and the first game was weird, actually, but...
Well, thank you for explaining that to me, because I showed one friend of this, and he's just like, oh, this is what's wrong with video games today. People just want to see the same thing over and over again, don't want anything original. I didn't realize that they had no choice if they wanted to break into the series at all. But that was kind of his thing, too, is they could make 20 sequels of something, and you never try anything new. But who's going to want a new game by Al Lowe? They're going to be like, who?
Well, the thing is, like, it'll do things that that it's never done before. I mean, it's already been remade once.
Yeah, yeah, the VGA version, yep.
Yep. But this one is going to be, like, it's going to be fully voice acted.
Although,
the people who did the not by the people who did the voices in those horrible, like, non-LO games, but, like, by the ones who did the voice acting in, like, Larry 6 and 7.
Okay, but still, like, they gave Larry a voice, and I've never liked it. It was not
really?
It was not my vision of this guy. He looked kind of like a normal dude, but then he became all cartoony and whatnot. Like the graphics in like Leisure Suit Larry 2,
yeah.
I thought were kind of better because you never really saw Larry's face for one thing, and the hugely graphical close-ups. And then like the whole thing in 3 is he's just like fat and overweight, and you have to like get him in shape and stuff. And it was like cartoony with sub being like realistic, and then like made him into a cartoon, and that just kind of lost a lot of the appeal for me.
Yeah, I don't know. But this game looks good, and Al Lowe's a cool guy, so I'm going to support it.
Sure. Well, I still want to support it. So the reason we bring it up,
yeah,
is because if you die in this game, it's like a whole joke about death in video games. Like a new Larry literally gets pushed off the assembly line.
I bet we could link to a video of that.
Probably. Let's write that one down for the show notes.
But it
does a few things also somewhat semi-realistically. Like if you go off into the alley and linger a bit too long, you get beat to death by a hoodlum.
Yep.
So there's that. That's pretty much it. Walk out into the street, get run over by a taxi.
If you don't use breath spray for a certain amount of time, you die from terminal halitosis.
This is a bit accelerated, but still, I guess, true over the long term. If you sleep with a hooker without a condom, you die from a venereal disease.
And there goes our clean image. But yeah, I think that was the first game where you could die in that particular way.
I believe it was. And it was.
It's also the first graphical adventure game that has the function unzip. In almost every case, it'll turn out badly.
It's true.
Leading to death in a number of funny ways.
Yes.
But anyway, everybody, I mean, if you're a fan of Leisure Suit Larry or just Al Lowe in general, and he made some really good games besides Leisure Suit Larry.
Yes.
Torrance Passage. The Black Cauldron game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, he's been involved in a lot of other projects too. I'd like to see the guy get back into video games because the comedy video game is kind of,
yeah,
I don't know. Telltale's working on it, but.
Oh no, I really liked the Back to the Future series.
Yeah.
Well, you know, adventure games dealt with death in a very funny way. I mean, and again, we did deal with this in the Life and Death episode, but it's kind of like based on the Choose Your Own Adventure books, where you can die in kind of ridiculous ways. But
yep.
it's sort of a teaching tool, it's a learning tool, and you like know not to do that again. Unfortunately, the older games sent you way, way farther back than the more modern games tend to do.
Oh yeah,
but
definitely.
I mean, like, what about in the interim though? Like, what kinds of games have sort of desensitized us to just like getting physically damaged? I just think it's funny that in a platformer you can fall many, many times your body height and just be fine.
Yeah, well, although I've seen some platformers that have a certain amount that you can fall before dying, but it's always too hard to keep track of. I don't. like, I don't want to be thinking, like, if I miss this jump, I want it to be like, I will survive all jumps or I will survive no jumps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Out of This World, slash, what's the other name for that game?
I keep forgetting. Another World.
Another World. That was a kind of confusing one because most of the time you can't fall very far. But there's this one case in particular where you can kind of drop down a couple of screens and, yep. and land safely. And you need to yep. in one case. And it's just ridiculous because it's like your instinct is not to fall, but you have to fall. Otherwise, yeah, it's like against all your instincts. Or there's like Zelda 2 does that too, where you fall down a pit. It's like death. Don't go that way. But again, like, one of the final castles, you have to fall if you're going to progress in the game because there's no way to get there laterally. It's just, games! Be consistent.
I know. Oh, Prince of Persia had different, like, how far you could fall and yes, survive.
That's true.
So you had to, like, hang down on some ledges to reduce the amount you fell.
Yes. Which culminated in the most recent Prince of Persia game where if you ever fell ever, a magical princess would save you. Every time.
Really?
Yeah, that was how the last self-titled Prince of Persia game went. Before they had the whole mechanic of running back time, which you only had so long to do to correct your last mistake. But in this game, it's like you screw up and Elika will just float through the air and save you no matter how many times you messed up.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a point of contention. I didn't mind it so imagine. Much. But yeah, another way that takes death out of gaming, I'll magically save you every time. So it was kind of hard to get hurt in that game too.
Yeah, I can imagine so. So what about when characters do get hurt in video games? Now, yeah. normally it's pretty clear. When a character falls, they're either dead.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, stunned, whatever. But like... Yeah. Very few games have actually treaded on the process of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But there are medical games.
Actual first one medical yeah. games.
Medical
about
games.
About like medicine. Games. Is there like a Scrubs video game? Because that would be totally awesome.
If it was, I would say it should be a point-and-click adventure.
And would it be about doctoring at all? It'd be yep. about getting JD a new girlfriend.
Pretty much what the show was about.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it would get all serious about something.
Oh, so like speaking of Scrubs and Men at Work, I guess the flautist died.
The what now?
The guy who played like flute and saxophone for Men at Work was recently found properly deceased in his home.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So yeah, trauma games.
Yeah, well, let's go even farther back.
Okay.
I think probably the first game that I knew, and it was maybe not controversial at the time, but it definitely made a lot of headlines. The game was called Life and Death.
Okay.
It was released in 1988.
Whoa.
Software Toolworks. I had it on my Apple IIGS, but it was on everything that, okay. that could run, you know, that... Like, pretty much, it was on pretty much any 16-bit computer.
Sure.
I think maybe a couple of the 8-bit ones, too. But anyway, this game was hard. I really liked it. I liked the concept. You have patients coming in, and you're an abdominal specialist.
Abdominal, okay.
Which probably saves the game from having to show any, like, nudity or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, patients come in. And you first examine them, or whatever, to find out what's wrong with them. You can look at their medical charts, run a number of tests, and then you try to figure out what's wrong with them. Like, do they have, like, appendicitis or kidney stones or something like that? And then you operate. This is done with the mouse as a scalpel. And you know what? It's really hard. It's, like, yeah. the hardest game I've ever played. I played this a lot. I had this game. I owned this game. I played it all the time. And I never once had a successful surgery.
Really? How did you keep getting to practice medicine? Once. That's just...
because it's not like the new medical games like Trauma Center where it like tells you exactly what to do. Oh. You've got to like dig through the manual and it's like it's fairly realistic. Like you have to make the incisions just right. You got to make sure that the blood stays put. You got to clamp things. You know, like it's an incredibly elaborate process to like and even then once you've removed the appendix. Which I think I successfully did once, I found out that at the beginning my diagnosis was wrong.
So it was just
really, really hard. But I don't know. That game came out when I was 8.
Sure.
So, I mean, to me it seemed impossible at the time. Like, I'm like, how can anybody ever, like, win this game?
Right.
But now maybe it would be doable. But you know, but they made a sequel to it. It was almost like it was taunting me, the sequel to this game. It was called Life and Death 2: The Brain. And I'm like, what could possibly be harder than being a surgeon in a video game? Being a brain surgeon. You know? There's a lot going on there.
Remove this tumor. Oh, now he thinks he's a dog. Great.
Yeah, I didn't even buy that one. I'm like, no. Nope. Oh, I killed so many patients.
Hold on. We can fix that.
Oh my gosh! If only I had had that soundboard at the time.
Oh dear.
But yeah,
we should put the soundboard in the show notes too, huh?
Probably. Probably there's better soundboards out there, but that's the first one we found. That game. I think if you killed enough patients, you'd eventually like lose your medical license.
Oh yeah, like that was my question. Like how?
I like that. Yeah, so I'd have to always restart my character.
No,
I don't. It's been a long time since I've played that, but it was fun. It was fun. And then of course there's the next medical simulation. This one's not quite as realistic, but it is the best selling medical simulation ever. Do you know what game I'm talking about?
Operation the Game.
Ooh. No.
Oh.
Good guess though.
Wait. Yeah, I got nothing.
You got nothing? Well, obviously it's Dr. Mario.
Now that is very realistic. For some reason, you have a bunch of viruses in a bottle, and you put medicine in it, and then you sell it to people.
Pretty much, because you know when you're filling out a prescription for someone, the main thing you have to do is make sure that the pills crush all the germs that are already existing in the bottle. yeah. Dr. Mario is fun, though.
It is. It is. It's one of the few games my wife will play.
I still think we have to have wife versus wife Dr. Mario challenge.
I know. They're going to mop the floor with us and each other.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should do that. I've got the multiplayer one on Wii. We should.
Yep, ditto.
We should do that sometime.
Definitely.
But anyway, getting back to serious medicine. So he earned his medical degree somewhere along the line. And because everybody knows that how effective a medicine is determined primarily by what color it is. Oh man, what a great game though.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, the basic premise is a little silly, but that doesn't stop me from owning like 3 different versions of it, like for Game Boy and Wii and I think NES.
I have a horrible Chinese ripoff of Dr. Mario on my iPhone right now.
Oh man!
And it's free right now. You should get it before it will obviously be pulled.
Man, why does Nintendo release stuff on iPhone?
We've talked about this.
Oh man, yeah, we've talked about so many things, and we're only like 45 episodes into this podcast.
But I think what I really should get to is an actual medical simulation that did quite well.
Oh, okay, sure. Well. Shoot, I mean, hit me. I mean, just go.
The Trauma Center games.
Oh, of course. I've seen these, and actually, I think I really wanted to get one. There's like some kind of obvious sequel with an obvious sequel-y name.
Yeah.
Like hyper trauma center or something.
Well, there's the first one was like Trauma Center Under the Knife, but actually it was preceded by a less selling game called like Tendo Doctor.
Okay.
Or whatever it was, which I think if it ever would have gotten localized, they would have called it Nintendo Doctor.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. That.
Yeah, but.
Like the Doctor from
never,
Heaven.
Yeah. That one never came out, but it was one of the very early 3DS games. Yeah. I think it was made by Nintendo itself.
Was it? Interesting.
And it did about as well as Trauma Center in Japan, actually.
Well, was Trauma Center kind of like Operation the video game? Because that's what I've sort of gotten the impression of, but it could be entirely wrong.
It started out kind of like that, but like... You use your stylus as a scalpel, and you're like saving these patients, and it's all things not rhythm based, but you know, kind of like, you know, you got to do things in the right order.
Sure.
You got to hit these dots here. How steady your hand is can like tell you how successful the surgery was.
Oh man, I would hate for that because this is a Wii game, right?
No, the DS game. Oh, they made two Wii games.
Yeah, there are Wii games. Because, yeah, I guess on the DS it makes a bit more sense because you're able to be a bit more precise and have more control. But, like, on the Wii, I can't ever get my cursor on screen to not shake. And I think it's just because of all the light pollution around the room. It just gets confused about where it thinks it's supposed to be pointing. So I can't imagine trying to play this game. It's like, I'm Dr. Tourette's here. Okay.
I believe the Wii version is, like, more forgiving, though.
Okay.
Like, as long as you're, like, in the general vicinity of where you have to be.
Well, I guess the good news is that there are localized English versions for those games on Wii. But, of course, being on DS, these other ones you can just import and play on any cartridge-based system that still plays DS games you might own.
Tendo Doctor was Japan exclusive, but all the others have come to America because, actually, they were way, way, way better selling in America than Japan.
Really? That's fascinating.
Like, I think the original Trauma Center, which is called Catechus, I think, in Japan. I'd have to look that up. But sold, I don't know, 30,000 copies in Japan, but it sold hundreds of thousands in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other ones were basically developed for the American market first as a primary market. These were made by Atlas, by the way.
Oh, right, okay.
And there were three on the DS, no, two on the DS and three on the Wii.
Okay.
Trauma Center New Blood, Trauma Center something else, and Trauma Team, which allowed you to go into not just the surgery but also the diagnostics, and it was set up more like an adventure game where you explored these murders as well.
Interesting.
Kind of like the show Bones or something, I don't know.
Right, right.
But yeah. And those, unfortunately, the series never really sold as well as when it first came out. Like, each sequel did worse than the one before, so I think the series has pretty much exhausted itself now, despite the fact that the quality of the games went up with each game.
Sure.
But they got kind of weird, though. Like, they started out as kind of straightforward medical simulations, but then there's, like, these super diseases or whatever, and, like, I don't know, infestations and I don't know, aliens or zombies or something. You know, it got really weird.
Right.
Really sci-fi, and then you start using these medicines that don't actually exist, and you know, I suppose it's supposed to take place in the future. Kind of like how Gekten Saibon, you know, the Phoenix Wright games, is supposed to represent a futuristic court system.
Is it?
Huh. Yeah. They're set in the future.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why they have such arbitrary, weird rules for how that a trial can only take a certain number of days, and yeah, they're set in the future. Yet Phoenix Wright's cell phone is quite old. I don't really like the sight of blood, though.
Well, good thing you're a gamer.
What? Well, yeah, I guess blood is a pretty big part of. Well, yeah, but like when you rip off someone's spinal cord in Mortal Kombat. You don't think, oh man, how do I fix that? Now, I would buy a game like that. I would buy a game that makes Trauma Center with classic video game characters.
Hmm.
I'd like to find a way to unswoosh a Goomba. like you have to put back together their skeletal structure after they've been squashed by Mario.
Like what if the whole game is just like this desolate wasteland that Mario must leave behind after every level, and you're just like, you know, like reinflating Goombas and like putting Koopas back in their shells.
Oh man, I would totally play that. Super Mario Groundskeeper or something.
And it can be multiplayer, right? So someone can actually like run ahead of you, which is save your data, and you clean up afterwards. And that explains why when you go back to a level later on, everything's back the way it was.
Yeah.
Or the second quest, it's like, all right, this Mario jerk's going to pay. I've upgraded all the enemies.
Yeah. I'd play that. I would play that game.
Yes.
I always thought it would be fun to have a game like that where one person plays like the game master.
Yeah.
And another one is the player, so you're someone's behind the scene, you know, shooting out different enemies and stuff like that, and the other person's playing it.
Yeah.
I better stop talking about this right now because this might make us some money. Hold on.
Too late.
We'll talk after this podcast.
Got it.
Haha. Anyway,
hold on. I'm feeling a bit queasy again. I need a quick pick me up.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
You know, I actually tried a cure potion.
Yeah. Oh God, yes, I had one of those. Oh yeah, that was like a Final Fantasy 11 item.
Was it in a can or one of the cool bottles?
Yeah, the one I had was in one of the bottles, and it was just like some kind of honey type. Water stuff. I don't really know how to explain it.
It was like the original ones that came out. They came out for Final Fantasy VII Advent Children, and they were in these tiny little blue bottles that looked like potion bottles.
Yeah.
And I bought a six pack of them out of curiosity, and Kotaku actually quoted what I said about them because I was writing for Four Color Rebellion, and Kotaku quoted that. Kevin Tamarino from Four Color Rebellion's review is, it tastes blue.
It's true, though.
But it did. I mean, that was the only... I mean, like, it tasted what I would imagine a blue beverage to taste like.
Yeah, I had like, the bottle in its box, like, on my bookshelf for years, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty exciting.
I had a couple of the canned Final Fantasy energy drinks, like the Final Fantasy 11, 12, I don't know.
Yeah.
probably 13, actually. But anyway, drinks in my refrigerator for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are going to be worth something someday.
Yeah,
and
they're going
to these are going to taste awful someday.
Yeah, they're full of bacteria.
What am I going to do with these? Am I going to sell these? I'm never going to sell these. These are so heavy to ship, you know? They're never going to be worth that much.
Right, right.
And I'm like, I'm tired. I'm just going to drink these.
Yeah, I feel better. Zonk.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I couldn't sleep for a while.
You know, there was the Sprite Remix stuff like in 2003 that I kept a case of for years until I think a couple of years ago finally. Like the last two cans I had like exploded in the garage because it got so cold. Ah, memories. Sprite Remix, you'll be missed. Right up there with Crystal Pepsi.
I hung on to a Crystal Pepsi for a number of years. And it started turning brown.
Oh, what?
It was like the sugar had, I don't know, caramelized? I don't know what.
Yeah, probably.
But like, It started off with a kind of a yellowish tint, and then it was turning kind of brown. And I think it's reverting to its original cola state.
The uncola? Oh, no, that's 7-Up. Yeah. Silly me.
I hear there's a market for Ecto Cooler and Surge.
Oh, yeah, Ecto Cooler. Wow. Yeah, what if these things actually worked the way that they did in video games? Wouldn't that be great? Kids would be hurting themselves all the time.
I know.
Oh,
but not,
man.
But not too much.
Not too much. No, no. We have kids ourselves now. And...
I think the other cool thing about Final Fantasy is like you could put like 99 of these potions in your inventory.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking the guy walking around with 99 bottles of something, you know? how effective of a fighter
jingle,
is he?
Jingle,
really
jingle,
jingle.
Well, like yeah, like other RPGs aren't much better. Like Dragon Age, they have the elf root potions that you can make and whatnot. Mass Effect has, you know, way less than 99, but like, you know, not exceeding 10 units of metagel, which is just like this crap you smear on anything. There's a comic someone made about Omnigel, I think, actually, that's pretty funny about the many, many uses of Omnigel. Oh dear.
I'm sure it's good for a lot of stuff. I don't want to know. Yeah. Okay, but I mean that's the way health is treated in video games. Yeah. But really, I don't know much of another way to do it. The boredom of having to suffer through an actual medical procedure in a video game would be. Unless the video game is about that medical procedure.
Right. Oh, did you ever listen to the second radio series of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
I didn't. Wait, the original or the...
The original.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, I mean, there was like, you know, the one that was...
Like, made in the 80s, right?
Was it early the 80s? 80s? I don't know, but it was this whole thing about, like, this planet full of birds that never touched the ground and... The Lentilla clones.
Yes.
Yeah. So like their whole thing was they came from a society where like medical marvels were so profound that like people just never got sick. So they would like deliberately like get injections for having the symptoms of broken arms or whatever else, because it like nothing really like helps you focus like having an ailment. So
well, good for them.
Yeah. If only proper medical science could progress to that point where we're so healthy we feel like being sick. to feel our mortality again.
I really need to rest though. I'm not, but
oh, hold on, let me help you out there.
Okay. This is getting dumb. The first time we've ever brought in sound effects in our podcast.
We should do this more.
We should. Hold on.
Oh, God. Where did he go?
I'm just going to go back in time before I was sick.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Oh, wait, I'm still sick. In the past.
That's not how that works.
But I've got bigger problems than that.
Hold on. I've got enough aggro. I can use my limit break.
You are an enemy of the Dalek. You must be destroyed.
All right.
I'm the Slash. Get rid of it. I forgot how long that attack was. Is it dead?
No. If this is like Final Fantasy VIII, that huge long cutscene would have only done like 8 points of damage.
Oh, you're right. Where am I, Chocobo now?
Alright.
That's enough of that.
Speaking of delete, we should probably delete this whole scene.
Oh man, okay. Well, I don't think we're going to get away from games treating injury and exaggerating human potential anytime soon, because it would just make games not fun. Unlike the Lentilla clones, I don't think I could suffer limping through a game for very long. Although, you know, there are times. When it's effective, you know, in small doses.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, if they come up with some interesting ways to explain it, you know.
Yeah.
it can be fun. Like, I like the concept that, like, you're not getting shot in the head. You're damaging some of the potential of your shield.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that makes more sense. Or like if you're playing Halo and you're in one of those, you know, suits, it makes sense that you could take a couple bullets.
Exactly.
Games won't get away from this, but at the same time, if you applied Band-Aid in the game, you know, in a realistic way, and it brought you up one hit point, and needed to be constantly changed, it's a mechanic you don't really want to get into.
Yeah, so I guess those kinds of games have sort of tried to mitigate the unbelievability of it by, like, having your actual hit points be a vanishingly small range of injury from somewhere between total health and complete death.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have a paper cut. I guess I'm out of this fight. Excuse me, guys. Oh, like, this isn't a game, but like Community plays up that trope pretty well with the paintball episodes.
Yes.
Yeah, people should watch that show, especially because it's been like beating things like American Idol, at least when it was still on at the same time.
Yeah. Really?
At least for a couple of weeks, it was beating American Idol, but their ratings have long since fallen.
Okay. They need to get a fourth series. 4 years of college, you know.
Exactly, and it'll be over, and then we can get a nice video game. How about that? I'd play a 16-bit RPG of Community.
No, six seasons in a movie.
Right. Sorry. What would they do for those two seasons? Still go to school?
I can imagine. Well, can you really? You can go to college for a long time.
Right. Well, if it's like,
isn't that right, most of my friends?
If it's like a tech college, you probably can't go for more longer than 2 years unless you're TOEFL.
Oh, true. We're being mean today. Oh wow! Comedy Central announced that it has purchased Community for syndication.
Oh well, does that mean that they are getting a fourth season then? Because that would
It would make sense because you know you need like you want to have like the 100 episodes for a syndication package.
Exactly. All right, well, that's cool.
Which connects to our theme because.
I just like Community a lot, and
Chevy Chase's character was in a wheelchair.
Yes,
during much of
and then after several episodes of being in a wheelchair, which was nice continuity, he just wasn't in the wheelchair anymore. I think they must have used one of these. Hold on. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually, given how that show
is. This is the dumbest episode we've ever done.
We can try harder if you want.
But there you have it. Medicine and video games. So please tell us. I'm sure we've forgotten a lot of the medical themed video games. I can think of one right now. There was a game called I've forgotten the name of it. There's Life Force, where you go inside the human body to combat viruses.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of Salamander.
That is the same game.
What?
Yeah. Salamander.
Ah.
Was retooled as Life Force.
Gotcha.
For the American market. I know. That's an episode in and of itself.
You know, there's an episode of Doctor Who where, like, a clone of the Doctor goes into himself to kill a virus in his brain.
Yep.
It was a clone, right? I never really got that.
Wasn't that the episode with Hitler in it?
No.
Or is this original Doctor Who?
This is original, like Tom Baker, like the first canon episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's an unrealistic TV series, Regeneration.
Isn't that right, Canine?
Okay. Who's a good dog?
I think we gotta make a rule of no more sound effects in our television radio program. All right,
I know it's a Freudian slip because you want to be doing the video again.
It's true,
And we're working on it, ladies and gentlemen. We are working on it, on them, I should say, the many of them that will be arriving. It'll be
a lot of stuff has been filmed, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Definitely want to ride the hits of a particular video that's been actually getting less hits lately, but it's been up for a couple of years, so it's only our fault for not having sort of jumped on that bandwagon sooner. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
Yep.
Although I think this is the first time in a long time I won't have a panel at NoBrandCon this year. I should say.
Why is that?
Yeah, I never signed up, and then I realized part of the reason was I just have not had time to prepare anything. And yeah, so I thought, well, you know, it's 2 weeks until the convention now, and they might have saved a slot for me because they do that because they're sweethearts.
Do it, man. Do it.
But what will I do?
You can borrow my Doctor Who sound effect keychain.
Oh man, okay.
No, what can you do? You can sell some DVDs.
I suppose the last time I did a convention was DaishoCon last fall, and that I think we talked about in the show how that got screwed up a little bit, and I was on the program guide, like I had my panel, but no one ever informed me, so I didn't come prepared at all, and I ended up kind of winging it on the internet. Actually, it was a really fun panel.
There you go. That's what you need.
Come to think of it.
For the Famicom Dojo panel, just set up your Famicom, show some games, talk a little bit about the history, get people interested in our show. Come on.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
Do a panel.
I'll do a panel. I'll at least get some flyers printed up. And
those of you who live in Wisconsin, go to NoBrandCon to see Sean do a panel.
Yeah. And the rest of the convention is like May 6th through 8th, 2012. And I've been there every year because Vink and I were there at the beginning.
We were.
Yep. So, yeah. Speaking of conventions, remind me to talk to you all about Midwest Gaming Classic next time. I think it'll fit in better with our theme. That. Oh, should we talk about it now?
Well, it's up to you.
Sure. Now let's save it for next time. It's a little bit of a tease. How about that?
Ooh, we're teasing people.
A
now.
Tease for next episode. A two-parter. Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, I need to get some sleep. So
excellent. So, you rest up. I'll rest up, and the rest of you, please. Let us know if we missed any games or any tropes of games, and how they handle health and life and injury and human ability. And you can do that in our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv or alternatively at the Post and Powits TV. Also that we can follow us on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo, and our YouTube channels, That's Orange. We're on Blip TV as well. All over the place. You know, basically, if you go to FamicomDojo.tv, you can hit up all this stuff, including our free iTunes storefront, where you hopefully are getting this podcast and can leave a lovely comment about how much you enjoy it, because you have no idea how much that helps us spread the word to other potential listeners.
And if you don't have a computer, you can put a message in a bottle, throw it from the side of a boat. Please, with the subject line, give this to Sean.
If you don't have a computer, how are you listening to this show?
Well, don't we do a simultaneous podcast by smoke signal?
Oh yeah, we did start doing that, but the three people who listened. Just wasn't worth the cost. But you know, to be fair, it was half of our regular listening audience.
Ouch.
No, we get at least two more people than that. That's
all right. Let's wrap this one up.
Okay, so please leave us your feedback and comments, and we will see you next week ish
yep. And up. Until then, here's Vink reminding you to all get a life.
Hold on. There we go.
Okay. Rock your betting game. Ooh, whoa, yay! Whoa!
Dom Dojo.
That's got to be the dumbest podcast we've ever done.